Tuesday, February 22, 2022, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:00 p.m.
Call meeting to order.
Somewhere where it's warm, I bet.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Robert DC is absent. Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious. Troy Lonsby.
Here. Do we need to make a motion to excuse Bob?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to excuse Bob from the meeting today.
I'll second. Roll call.
Who seconded it? Larry?
Scott?
Yeah.
No. Troy did.
Oh, my bad.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners reserves the right to adjust an order of items on this agenda if necessary. Number one is public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item not on the agenda. The chair has the discretion to limit the time of comment. Is there any public comment? Okay, no public comment. We'll move on to number two, the consent agenda. Any individual item may be removed by a commissioner for special discussion and consideration unless there is an exception. These items will be approved as one with a single vote of the Board of Commissioners. A, approval of the previous meeting's minutes, February 7th through 7th, 2022. B, approval of payroll claims for February 6th through 19th, 2022. Approval of C, approval of accounts payable claims, D, approval of official reports, registered deeds, county clerk, clerk of district court, E, approval of chair to sign certificate of cost allocation plan for clerk of district court with Maximus Consulting Service to compute child support cost recovery for Dakota County.
I can make a motion to approve the consent agenda items. Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move to three, new business. A is Brian Mandeldorf with White's Company requesting clarification of his role and the status of moving the Phase 2 construction project forward. Board to approve or not approve pursuing a new agreement with the White's Company.
So Brian's not here today. He has had another commitment. I'm Jared Schleifer. I'll be the senior project manager. I've been here two or three times already with Brian to talk about this project. So Brian asked that I fill in for him. I'm pretty well versed on where we're at. I think maybe the best thing is to maybe recap how we got to the point to where we are. My understanding is that in a past board meeting that our pre-construction amount was approved. And we weren't here for that. Is that the case? Or we were wanting to move forward with it? And we came back and said that we would like to redo the terms of what our agreement was.
I if I'm not mistaken, that was after, and anybody chime in whenever they want, but after we had our public hearing, okay, with the general public, and then we had a board meeting, and we, at that time, I think it was a 4-1 vote to move forward with a construction manager or yes.
Okay.
Or I should say with Ron Hines to move forward with the architect plans as well.
John Hattery.
To get a set of plans and a not to exceed figure.
Chad Hattery wouldn't provide you a not to exceed figure.
But he was going to get somebody for $25,000 to come up with that figure.
Okay.
So we were going to spend $225,000.
So I believe the $25,000 was our initial fee to provide a budget, not a GMP at the time, because they didn't have they only had schematic drawings at the moment.
Yep.
And the $25,000 was strictly a pre-construction budgeting effort by a CM or a CMR or a potential GC. But I don't believe the contract, the delivery method had been finalized yet. So that's where Whites came back and said, based off of previous communication at these meetings, maybe the CMR method isn't what the county wants. And so we felt that a way to provide the services that we would in pre-construction, which would be value analysis, budgeting, scheduling, working direct with Shive to help develop the drawings to provide the best value for the county, but not necessarily be the builder, an approach would not be the CMR, where we're holding the risk on that and we would be holding all the subcontracts. It would be a program manager approach.
So program manager, so program, that's a whole new term.
Yep. So I believe Brian Mallendorf sent that contract language over to the county attorney, and hopefully you guys have had a chance to see it. But really the difference is for us on the program manager side is we would strictly be working on behalf of the owner. We wouldn't be carrying any subcontracts. We would be assisting with Shive Hattery throughout the design development progression, providing budgets alongside, but we would not be the ones that are at risk for the building and construction of the project, which also means we wouldn't have the additional general conditions that would be on top of our fee for building the thing. So typically you would see like a 6% general conditions fee on top of that for the staff that's here to build it, and then all the equipment that's on site as well as the trailer. That would be done by a local general contractor, and that would be done in a delivery method that would be approved by us and what's best for you guys. It could be a CMR, or it could be your traditional design, bid, build approach once we've set the budget with Shive. So it's just it's up to you guys on how you'd want to do that. But also as part of the program manager, we could help reduce costs on the overall construction by providing a procurement method. So we could purchase direct items, that the major scope items that are part of this project, direct as part of the county. And that way the GC would not have an additional fee on top of that. And it would be here sooner, so you could start construction much sooner. So we could do that at the design development stage. And the items that we would look at doing right away would be the detention equipment contractor. They could be direct under the owner and coordinated by us. So that includes all of the prefabricated jail cells, as well as all the detention fixtures, hollow metal frames, security frames and windows, structural steel, which currently are 9 months out. We could purchase that on behalf of the county. We could purchase that direct and have the general contractor do the coordination final install of it. And that could go all the way down to mechanical fixtures, lighting fixtures. Really, it's up to you guys how far you want to go with it, but really that's saving probably a 2-3% fee that the contractor would get on top of it for purchasing that for themselves, where you wouldn't have that if you're purchasing direct. So that's where you would have the $25,000, which gets you the initial budget based off of Shive's, I believe they're at design development now. We would set the budget, and it's more than just a cost per square foot. We're reaching out to the actual subcontractors that would be installing it. Potential doesn't mean that we'd be hiring them, but we would be reaching out to industry experts to get the cost. It's not based off of just historization and cost per square foot. So it would be an in-depth design and budget review.
So we've spent how much so far? 200 or $400? Dollars.
I'm going to say it's probably closer to five.
So what is that money for?
So I believe that money is for bringing Shive Hattery on board, updating the contract drawings to the most up-to-date codes and requirements that are there.
Well, that was quite some time ago. So I guess what I'm bothered with is, why can't we just use the set of plans that the jail currently has in hand and just put it out for bid?
Because they're not ready to bid yet. You're at least 8 weeks away from construction drawings. Ron, if you could jump in, I see that you're online, maybe you could jump in and help out with this.
Thus far we have been paid or been incurred about $400,000 of design fees, and that would be through the DDs. The DDs are scheduled to be issued tomorrow. Those contractually are to be 40% documents, so 40% of our fee is basically where we're at right now. If we move forward with the construction documents, we just need that nod from the commissioners, and it would take us approximately 10 weeks to issue those out for bidding. So
Brian, yes,
and that would be another 35% of our fee, or if you would, $350,000.
So I guess I'm still confused as to why we can't use the set of plans that's currently in hand here at the jail when we paid for them back in 15 years ago. Why can't we use them to eliminate spending $500,000?
Those are not in compliance with current codes. Basically, we've taken the documents, brought them up to current codes, energy codes, building codes, etc. Then there's been a few changes that we've made that we have not charged for, some interior changes on some of the layout of the spaces, and then we've added a sally port to the building. So.
Well, I've got a letter that says that way back that it was everything was just fine as far as the codes and the state requirements and federal and so forth.
Are you speaking to a letter which was back in 2006?
Just 4 months ago or five.
Okay, so what we did was 4 months ago was back in September, we submitted to the Nebraska jail standards for the project approval, and that would have been updated floor plans, elevations, and things like that was submitted for the approval from the jail standards authorities.
Yeah, at least that's what I thought.
But our documents as they stand today are basically 40 to 50% complete. They're not completed construction documents.
It just did look to me like it'd be pretty simple to take the current plans, being the project was bid 15 years ago and everything was just fine then, and then a letter goes to the state says, yeah, everything's fine like it is, and we can't move forward without coming up with a new set of plans at a cost of $750,000, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, hey, Ron, I got a question. This is Scott Love.
Yes.
Okay, so as of tomorrow, what's as of tomorrow? Tell me what as of tomorrow is, because there's a lot of things.
Tomorrow is the design development documents that we will issue. Those are to be approximately 40% complete for the design documents.
Okay, 40% complete.
Yes.
So then you're saying from there, is it 10 weeks from tomorrow? It's 10 weeks from bidding, is that correct? Who told you
that? It's 10 weeks for us to complete the construction documents, which is another 35% of our fee. So, yes. The construction documents would then be issued for bidding, whether it's a CM at risk or whether it's a design bid build process, deliverable process. We would issue those documents. We'd put them to printing houses and clean rooms and things, and you would solicit contractors and or construction managers, depending on which method you choose, to bid on those documents, and that would take approximately 4 weeks would be a recommended time frame for those to be bid out.
Do you have the expertise to, I guess I'm confused, you're in the business of construction architecture, do
you have the expertise to do to give this estimate after the plans tomorrow?
As far as a construction cost?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
That's the piece of the puzzle that I feel like we're kind of waiting for.
We do. It would take us a while to do that. We haven't been preparing that. Our contract states that it would be by a construction manager, but we do provide costs.
But it would be a lot less expensive for a construction manager versus your company, correct?
That I don't know. I'd have to look at that and give you that figure, but so
I think maybe that Ron, not stepping on any toes, but the difference between what Ron and I would do is we would immediately be able to reach out to people that we've worked with yesterday and get costs right away, where there's probably there's an effort on Ron's side to be able to reach out to who the key subcontractors would be for the project. That's really where our value comes in, is we've got those day-to-day relationships that we can pull on from past history and make sure that we have credible costs coming through, and it's not just something that, you know, we can't promise you the project, but, you know, based on our relationship and the success we've had in the past, let's work together and figure out this budget. So that's just, that's part of what we do. I mean, that's the CM approach and something we do every day.
But you don't never do it as a non-risk situation?
Oh, we do it all the time. This is a scenario where we looked at this and thought of it as, if we were to provide the value that we were showing it as a CM at risk, where we could procure these items for you up front to accelerate the project, because as soon as you get this thing built, you start generating revenue, right? So the longer we wait to continue to develop into design and go through a design bid build, it's just wasted opportunity. Now, maybe we're too far to go down that road, but we still have the opportunity to purchase these major scopes of work on the county's behalf and reduce that overall cost of construction. And part of that would be packaged with what Ron's team sends out as the construction documents. We would package that to say, the county is providing the detention equipment contractor, all the structural prefabricated architectural panels, structural steel, joists and deck. We go down the line on what you guys would want to do, but really the options are endless there, and the GC would basically be providing an install package only and not a provide an install. That's where the value comes in. So, for example, the detention equipment contractor, from providing the jail cells to the security frames, to the security equipment, that's going to be probably 20% of the job. So on a $13 million job, you're at $2.6 million. That's $120,000 in markup that they would have if they just had roughly a 3% markup fee for their scope. So that $120,000 is safe right off the bat if you guys were to provide that and they're installing it.
So it would be up to us, to the subcontractors and the material handlers or distributors would be working for us.
Correct.
And we'd have to write them the checks.
Not necessarily. So I would still suggest that if we went this route, you're still hiring a general contractor. The installers, the subcontractor, the installers would be under the GC, the fabricators for the steel and the podcast and the jail cells would be purchased direct, and the county would carry the risk on that. And there would be an option there's endless options here on the prime contracts that you guys could hold yourself to reduce those risks. So another prime contract could be strictly the detention equipment contractor. He could be in charge of producing and installing all of that equipment. That would be something that we would vet out during the pre-construction phase. That $25,000, that would all be figured out during that phase. If it makes sense for the county to do it, we would go down that path, and we'd work with Ron and his team to make sure the construction documents reflect what you guys would want.
Well, like I said, I wouldn't want us involved at all in any of them, other than writing the monthly check.
That's all you'd be responsible for. That's what I would be there for.
Just the business of the materials coming in, get delivered, get dumped off, and they're not fabricated correctly, who's going to call, make that call? So, you know, we don't have that expertise to do all that stuff.
That'd be me.
Well, we got to pay you.
Right. You'd have to pay the GC as well.
Yeah. Well,
to do the same thing.
Maybe the GC will do it for cheap.
Or he could do it for expensive if he knows it's a hard bid.
Yeah.
But if you do a competitive bid, don't you get, that can be part of your package, the competitive bid process.
It could be. But part of that piece, the competitive bid market, is if they understand who's going after it, it could work in the negative effect.
So
it could come out more expensive than it would if you were to negotiate their rates. If you went through the CMR process, you can negotiate their fee, all of their overhead, and you could basically demand what you want them to do for you, or if you just sent out a bid set of documents, that's their contract, and they get all the savings on the project. CMR and this and the approach we're talking about here, you guys would get all the savings back. And you would manage their fee, you would manage their GCs, you'd manage all their equipment on and off the job site. That's the true advantage of the CMR approach.
And I don't see that we need to be doing any managing myself.
I just
create a lot of work.
I would be managing it on your behalf. That's what you're paying the White's company for, not me. But it would be me.
Yeah. 6%.
No.
10.
4.5.
4.5. 6% is what it would, that's what the typical general conditions costs are for a general contractor. That's the cost of their staff, equipment, and trailers on site. We don't have that cost. It would just be me. That's the 4%. 4.5.
So it's going to cost us how much money to get a completed set of plans, a construction set of plans, not one that can't be used for construction?
Ron, what did you say?
$350,000 is what I have written down.
$350,000.
Our fee to complete the construction documents would be approximately $350,000. And then that's 35% of our fee. And then if we guide you through the bidding process, depending on which method, delivery method you go with, that'd be another 5% of our fee, or $50,000. So to get to a bid number, that's approximately $400,000.
So we're going to spend $800 plus to get it to a bid process, because of whatever it is, $800,000. We spent $400,000. We're going to spend another $400,000. $800 plus to get it to the point where we'll come up with a package that supposedly can be bid out to 3 or 4 or 5 general contractors.
Yep.
Yeah, and with that, there's a process for submitting documents that we would assist with to authorities having jurisdiction to review the documents and give project approval. One is the State Fire Marshal's Office. Secondly, the city, your city. And then there's a submittal to the final documents to the jail inspector too. So.
And then, in this process, like when a project was bid before, the plan was given out to several other architects to come up with design work on the civil and electrical and the IVAC and so forth, and that'll be done?
I think I didn't quite hear you, but I think you asked if there will be the civil site design. There is a new parking lot, of course, grading, utilities, things like that are included. You'll see some of those documents in the design development package that we deliver at 40%.
And you also, through the structure itself, is given out to other architects to come up with the design package?
Sounds other architects?
No, there are no other architects involved. It'd be our firm doing the architectural design.
See, when the plan was done for the phase one and two, there were about six different architects involved, including a civil and electrical and so forth on down the line.
But that is correct, and we have all those different engineers disciplines in-house. So that's why you don't have multiple design firms working on the project.
So it wouldn't be
The exception is a civil engineer is local that we hired under our umbrella. DGR is the civil engineer there, but
all the other
disciplines, landscaping, architecture, electrical, mechanical, plumbing, that's all within our company. But it's also, everyone is under our contract. All the design is underneath our contract.
Ron, how far in construction document development would you go before a budget is completed?
If you're looking for a hard bid, that would be at the end of the bidding period, and we would need to complete the construction documents for bidding.
So we
if you're looking for a cost estimate, that can be done. A cost estimate, of course, it's going to be non-binding. That can be done with the DDs that are delivered.
Yeah, I guess what I was asking, so we would, the budget would be done off of the design development drawings, but I'm guessing you guys wouldn't want to put a ton of effort into the final CDs until that budget analysis is done, constructability review is done, and all I was getting at was you don't want to keep going down a path where you have an opportunity to do a thorough review of the design drawings, get the contractors that are actually going to put the work in place to take a look at them and say, here's how we would suggest doing things maybe a little bit different, and then Ron's team would be able to incorporate that into the final design. That's what that $25,000 is. So it wouldn't be smart to go down the path of doing the construction documents before that budget analysis is done.
So,
I thought we had a budget analysis already.
Ron, I'm not trying to speak for you, but I believe the budget analysis that was done was based off of cost historization, which means on average and similar project types, they've got a cost that is similar to this scope of work, and they're just putting a cost that was a cost per square foot to the square footage of this building with it. Without having a whole lot of discussion with actual installers. Is that, Ron, correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yeah, the opinion of cost that you have right now at the SD level, that's correct, is done with historical costs, inflation, things like that, that the cost you have right now. There was not any solicitation of detailed costs from contractors or anything like that. That's correct.
So based on what we see happening right now, it could be drastically different, probably. Supply.
We don't know because we got to vote on it. You got to move forward with this guy to get to that number, correct? That's what we've been doing for the last how many meetings? It's the same. They're stuck at the same point. We never move forward. We moved forward with the architect last time, and I don't know why. I don't know why we didn't move forward with these guys, because these guys were going to get us a solid number that we all wanted.
Well, I think it was a stepping process is what we were trying to get to, from the public. I know from the public hearing that we had upstairs, and then here we are, or here we was, to move forward with them. So obviously we're invested more money there. So to me, the next step is to take it to the next step of. If it's a CM or a project manager, or if it's at risk, or if it's a design build, or if it's a design bid build, you know.
Well, it sounds like, if I'm right, Weitz doesn't really want the architect to move forward until you guys have an opportunity to...
I wouldn't suggest the architect move too far down the path of design to where if systems need to be changed, I really don't see a whole lot of that happening, but there's a risk of moving too far down design where you haven't done a budget analysis and a constructability review that there could be redesign required. And we don't want that to happen.
Wasn't that the
On behalf of the county.
Wasn't that the $25,000 that we were going to sign the contract to do, and now we're not? You guys don't want to do it? That's what I thought happened.
No, it's just different wording, Greg. The wording's not the same anymore.
And well, I think you want more of a different type of an obligation.
Yeah.
Is what I think was what you guys want.
Right. I think the previous one was a CM at risk with that $25,000 pre-con. And we feel like we could provide the lion's share of those services, but also give you the opportunity to have a local general contractor and local staff, save on the local staff, instead of having us sitting here from out of town. Because if we're at risk, we're going to put our guys on the site. But if the general contractor is carrying the risk, then they can put their guys on the site that they trust. But we would oversee it on behalf of the county.
So you'd be the acting general contractor?
No, words. I would not.
Well, your people, you said.
If we were CMR, we're not. If we were CMR, we're not suggesting we be the CMR. And CMA, I think that was brought up a while ago. Our understanding is that's not allowed based on Nebraska statute. So the CMA and the program manager are essentially the same thing, but this would allow you to move forward with it because the CMA is not allowed.
Are we liable for any hourly fees? Is there anything on top that we don't know already that's going to be extra?
No. So as part of that 4.5%, we'll be working with Shive throughout design, and then as we move forward, anything that the sheriffs would like procured on their behalf, whether it be the inmate beds, inmate sheeting, inmate clothing, kitchen laundry equipment, all that would be included in that fee. These guys are busy operating a jail. They don't need to worry about procuring that equipment. We would take care of that for them as part of that fee.
This new contract was considerably lengthy compared to the pre-construction contract. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, Kim, but I tried to go through it a little bit, and it was quite extensive.
A lot of to be determined, which yeah. just seems like it's not quite finished for the board to make a decision.
The to be determined part is the portion where we would work with the county to determine what needs you would want. So the to be determined is... The big one is, do you want to go with a general contractor as a design bid build, or would you hire a contractor in the CMR approach? That's the to be determined amount.
It seems like we've been, is what I know and what I've read and what I've talked to people, it just seems like the CM at risk is the way to go. That's just the way that it's been beat into my head a little bit. Meaning, you know, the advisor situation is not obviously an option, which we didn't like that option, I don't believe.
The CMA? I don't think it's allowed by Nebraska
right,
statute.
Right,
yeah.
But
that's what the original contract was.
As an advisor,
yeah.
Right?
No.
When you say A?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right, advisor. But the risk, you know, and I guess, you know, we have in front of us, you know, the project delivery, the systems of it, and, you know, it shows the design bid build. And maybe we're making this more complicated and trying to, you know, wrap our heads around it than what you're probably used to, because we don't deal with this stuff and we
nope,
don't see this stuff.
Totally normal.
It is.
Fire away with questions.
So, but I just think that the way that I understand that, And I could be wrong, and I brought this up before when Ron, I do believe, was here. But I just figured in something like this, if it was a CMR, that it needs to be put out. If you want to put for bid or for proposal for bid or however, I thought that was a situation that we had to, you know, face, is what I thought we had
correct.
To face. Okay, so, and I was told, reliable source, very smart, knowledgeable guy. Admire the guy, but he just said the risk, the at risk is going to be the way to go for the county. Just to, so then it's pretty cut and dry, and it's you're not paying several different people either for fees, I guess. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? That makes sense, Sean, or not? Yeah, I don't know. I just had a lot of information pounded at me, so
and
I'm just trying
Jared
to.
Jared is saying he could get you to that CMR.
Correct, but we would not be the acting CMR.
Correct.
We would help you hire the CMR, and a lot of the, what they would do up front, we would have already done. So they would, we'd basically be managing what their fee and GCs are, as opposed to if we were to hard bid it. And that would be just a general contractor on board, and whatever savings they have at the end of the job, they keep. But there's a potential with the competitive bid, you could get a more aggressive number.
And you could make that part of your bid process, if you're a CMR at risk.
The CMR, the correct. But again, the White's company would not be the CMR. We would be the program manager helping facilitate the CMR process. So in the CMR process, you would hire a contractor to then go out and hire the subcontractors based off of the contract drawings and what the county would be providing to them as the major scopes of work.
But they would furnish. Then you would furnish.
I would not furnish.
Somebody would have to.
I would help the county in creating the RFPs for the furnishing of that equipment and materials. And then it would be, you could either do it as a hard bid or based off of qualification, and then they could be hired direct as a prime contractor. Back to the CMR piece, they still go through a competitive bid process as a general contractor to get the most, the best value subcontractor, not the lowest bid, the best valued subcontractor that the county and Shive and White, we could all decide on, yes, this is the most qualified electrician for the job. He's the one that needs to come in and do this work. And it's more than just low dollar. It's, do they have the manpower to do it? Do they have the time to do it? Show me the three other projects where you've done something even remotely close to this. I mean, there's a lot more.
This guy ain't always the best thing.
No.
No.
So that's how you manage it on the CMR process. Hard design bid build, you're getting low number. So, but it's up to you guys how you want to move forward with it. I thought the $25,000 was there so that we could do the budget analysis and review and work direct with you guys to figure out whether it's CMR or GC from there.
Kim, is there anything that you see on this that you don't like?
Would this make White's the architect's boss? So that's the way it appeared.
Could
I don't
you
know if
be maybe be more specific on where you thought it appeared that way? What language? Maybe I can.
Well, there's a lot going on in that contract.
The CMR agreement's much thicker than this one.
You think
it is?
Yeah, right.
It is.
I would hope so.
But one way or the other, there's going to be a contract between you and the acting general contractor that builds it.
So I mean, is this just adding another layer? Does the county want or need another layer on top of the rest?
From the discussion we're having right now, I would say yes, you need it. And that's what we're offering. It's what we've been offering. We're trying to find the easiest way for you to do it and move forward right now without going through a qualifications process. Because if you go through the CMR, you're going through an RFQ, RFP, and a selection. Or now you can hire us to help with that process, but potentially start procuring material right now.
It seems to me like this whole process has cost us a lot more money to get a price than we were initially told.
And initially, I think it was $25,000 to help in the design and $25,000 to get a price, and now we're looking at significantly more than that.
Right now, the $25,000, that is still to get the updated budget that number hasn't changed on our end. The only thing that's different for us is whether or not we're hiring the subcontractors or we're working for you direct and helping purchase material.
Yeah, I think that 25 grand, I think was kind of misleading from the get-go, and obviously you know you can't put everything together for $25,000.
No.
I mean, that's ridiculous to even think that. But I can see where from the get-go, you know, you come in, hey, 25 grand, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's just to get a rough proposal, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of a sudden, then the ball or the wheel keeps moving, okay? And then here you guys are hired as project manager or the CMR, and then that wheel keeps moving and you guys are still running the wheel, but you guys are also ramrodding the job at 4.5% is what it boils down to, right?
Correct.
So then all of a sudden that 4.5% becomes, you know, it's not 25, it's not 50, it becomes $500,000.
Right.
Yeah, it's basically what happens.
You said the major components would be what percentage of the cost of the project?
I think, so if you, the detention equipment contractor, depending on if we were to hire them as an overall scope, that's about 20% of the job.
No, I'm talking about the materials themselves. You say the timing is right for the order of materials right now, today. Okay, what percent of money, or what percent of the project with these materials you're referring to, what would the cost be on that?
Probably 20%. I don't know what, so the thing we haven't talked about is what is the county's budget? Do you know? Do you guys know?
Right now,
budget?
Nothing. Until they borrow.
There's no
money.
Target? Well, I think that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah,
we're trying to establish this for you. It's hard for me to throw out percentages if we don't know what that is, but the structure and the detention equipment is going to be at least 30% of the job. So, and the timing of it, that's the other piece, is you're missing out. The unforeseen piece is if you don't move on it now, you're just waiting to order that material. Escalation is going to be involved, and you just wait that much longer to get a contractor on board and then for them to order it. We just found this as an avenue for you guys to move on it now and potentially save on any escalation that's out there, as well as
yeah, something needs to move sooner than later, because and as far as when you say budget, you know, obviously this is not a taxpayer's, you know, concern where we got to get. I mean, it's still a concern, and we still got to watch what is being spent, but we need to figure it out, because, you know, to me it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Decker or Mr. Ellinger or Walsh, but it sounds like to me that the federal marshals are kind of willing to, let's just get this thing rolling and get it built and let's get it paid for.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they want that number. And my question, I haven't seen the contract. So if they sign this contract with $25,000 and they decide that you give them the hard number or a harder number than what you have currently, and then they decide to say no, does that lock them into anything? Say the project dies because you say that it's going to be $20 million, we take it back to the marshals, they say no. What's the contract lock the county do? Is it just the $25,000?
Yeah.
Is that what you think, Kim? Or?
Well, and what you paid out to the designer.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the architect. Yeah. I get that. They're, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
If the feds say no way,
you guys.
Yep, no way, then.
We can't move forward until we get a harder number to give to the marshals to see if they're willing to move forward. And this is where we've been for quite some time. So, I mean, if it's 25, I don't disagree with you, because if you're signing a contract that locks into something down the road, that's not what was told by Brian. I mean, he said in the last meeting, yeah, this contract, the initial contract, not the current one that you have, he said, we're not going to be able to do that, but he would honor that price if, as long as we'd be interested in moving forward with them, they'll get us a harder number for that $25,000. And I don't know what the contract looks like. I would agree with the board. I wouldn't want to get involved if they decide that they're not going to move forward, or the marshals aren't going to move forward. But if they, so now we owe you another $100,000.
Well, we're going to spend another $200,000, aren't we, to get the not to exceed figure, to get to the actual figure?
it depends on what his budget brings us, right? Is the budget going to be a number we can take to the feds?
Yes. That should be a number you can take to the feds.
For $25,000, you're going to get us a budget with a number we can take to the feds.
Mm-hmm. And it's not going to exceed that figure.
That's not a guaranteed maximum price. That is our best ever budget estimate that we should go to the feds with, and that can be used for however the funds are being allocated for this project, whether it be bonding or whatnot. But that is how you would establish the bond amount. Now, sorry, I shouldn't say bond if that's not the way it's going, but however you guys establish the funding, that's the number that would be used. And then the GMP, you should work backwards from that number to ensure that the GMP reaches what the construction budget is. And that's where we would work with SHIB to ensure that that happens, which is easier done if you go the CMR route after the fact, because then you can negotiate all of those rates. Whereas you're opening up an envelope in here and you have no idea where it's coming in at. So.
That contract, and Kim, I had a lot of stuff in there that was some blanks. You made a good point. I noticed there was one clause about the $25,000, but then it alluded to lots of other things mm-hmm. that it tied down to that I couldn't quite tie the pieces of it together. Additional costs that weren't really. The first contract, the pre-construction, made a little clearer, but this long contract,
it looked like hourly fees, expenses, and another 5% on top of that, and then another 4.5% of overall cost.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you could just take this clause. We want to do this 10.1 or whatever that clause
was. That was in the original contract, too. A lot of those things that were additives.
Yeah, it was $25,000 for 5 months or something like that in that original one. And that's where I think the confusion came into play. We heard $25,000 a couple times, but when we look at the contract, it has a whole lot more than that in there. It keeps adding plus this, and a termination, and this.
Yeah, I think they're saying that. So the contract says that if you don't pay us the $25,000, then there's additional fees that go on top of it. So, but the $25,000 is for the pre-construction. They put an hourly rate in there as a senior project manager, where if we truly added more scope to the project, then we would suggest billing it back at that amount. But there is no hourly rate for me. It's just the $25,000 gets you the number. The 4.5% is within the portion of the GMP that we are there assisting the county throughout the entire process. If after the $25,000 we go through the budget and you guys say we're not going through with it, then for the $25,000, we'll walk away.
You know, and don't take this the wrong way, anybody, but to me it seems like, you know, you guys have been here three or four times or whatever, and it seems like to me you guys are, like, pissed off and you're kind of trying to play a little bit of hardball with the contract. And don't take that the wrong way.
No, well, I will say that...
Don't take that the wrong way, but...
There is an element of that that would make us say that this would be too much of a risk for us to be the CMR.
Fair enough.
But we still want to help you.
Right.
And we have the expertise to do this and help you align your needs with what the budget needs to be. And if you guys want to hire a local GC to do it, we're all for that. Go for it.
Okay.
Is there a one-page version of that one clause? That does read. Yes.
So what your legal advice to the board, Kim, would be what you've read, what you see is now it's not a good time to make a decision on anything?
Well, the only thing you're deciding today is whether or not you want to pursue an agreement with Whites. The rest isn't on the agenda.
At what cost?
Or can it be the simple version that we draft to, that we feel doesn't dig us into the, get us too far along the pipe?
We would say no. I mean, this document is made by the AIA. Ron would use the same, similar type of document. We wouldn't expose ourselves to a general agreement like that, and there's too much risk for it. I felt like Brian did a good job of finding something that was as broken down as possible for an owner's representative.
And accommodating.
Mm-hmm. And as much as he I suggested that you stick with the true owner's representative contract. He was able to find this one that is dummied down. It's a lot less than what those owner's representative contracts would be. So this was his way of being accommodating and trying to make it as easy as possible.
Does the architect do this also?
Ron, you'd have to answer that one. I have not had an architect go through and provide the type of detailed estimate that we provide.
Ron's offline right now. He took a nap.
No, I'm here. Basically, we provide the on-site observations. We can increase or enhance that during the project. We for the construction documents and bidding documents, we prepare those, and we're used to issuing those to whatever method that you find that you want to deliver the project, whether it's a CMR, whether it's the design bid build. And then in the past and on future projects, we are providing cost estimating, but again, it's a little bit of a different process of cost estimating that we provide. There's things in that particular AIA contract that we do provide for you and are already providing for you to a specific level.
I think the agreement we
one of the things I might point out is we were talking about the pre-purchasing of materials. Of course, that's not something that is done underneath our contract right now. There have been other projects that we have been instructed to provide those drawings and specifications for pre-purchasing materials, but that's not specifically in our contract right now.
What would it cost for you to do that for us?
The pre-purchasing is, contingent upon what items that you're looking at pre-purchasing. My experience has been pre-purchasing mechanical systems, which in the past were longer lead times. Now we're at a crossroad of where there are building materials that are longer lead time, like the structural steel and metal wall panels and things like that. So,
Troy, are you asking Ron if he can do what the White's company can do? Is that the question? Because I don't think he answered it.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Can somebody ask him that specifically? What would it take to do what White's was going to do for $25,000?
Did you hear that, Ron? What would it take for you?
You're asking for basically a detailed cost estimate, and more than likely for that detailed cost estimate, we would hire a cost estimator that does that, and that cost would be passed on to the supervisor.
And how much would that be? Do you have a dollar figure?
If I were guessing, I would guess it'd be around $25,000. In the past we have hired that out from anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000. So I have not solicited a quote from a contractor and or construction cost estimator to date.
Would that be something that White's would be interested in, if they would do it? It seems like we're going around the way to get there, but I think it'd show good faith in White's kind of part of if the architecture contractor was looking to do this, and now we know that you guys are some stand-up guy. I guess it just seems like that seems to be the holdup, right? And everybody wants that number. We need the number. We need it for us. We need it for the feds. We need it for the public, apparently, from basically last meeting. But, it's the number we want to get to, and I I think there's some concerns with your contract, which I haven't read, so I don't know, but... But Ron, you guys work with Ron, right, all the time. That's how we found the White's company.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to...
And we suggest Shy for design, bid, build projects.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I mean, the relationship's there because of past performance, and but I understand why Brian wrote the contract the way he did. There should be a give to get there. The $25,000 won't cover the cost that it takes to put together a good budget for you guys, but that is the good faith number. Now, I can't tell you guys how to vote on it. If you want to vote for the $25,000 to proceed, but you're not committing to the 4.5% for any type of program manager fee, that's something that you guys can negotiate with Brian, and that's above my pay grade. I was here to try and explain the process and tell you what the benefits are.
You're the messenger.
Yeah.
No.
I'd be the executor of it as well.
I understand.
I'm the one here. So.
All right, so what's our move here? We need to get a number. That's the only thing I can say. And I know that, like I said, I've been in a barrel spinning over this ordeal from a lot of different types of people talking to, and
can that contract just X out what we don't want
to change it a little bit?
Circle something we want.
Well, I mean, I guess today all you have to decide is if you want to continue to pursue an agreement with White's. I mean, that doesn't mean this. I mean, it's not complete, so I wouldn't recommend just signing it. But if you do, you want to pursue it or not?
I think your copy still says draft, doesn't it?
Yes.
But are they negotiable on changing anything if we
Absolutely.
Want?
Absolutely. You guys can negotiate. You bet. Put the $25,000, I'm sure, will turn on.
So if we would, let me just give an example. If we would move forward, and if somebody would make a motion to go ahead to approve pursuing the new agreement with the White's company, that basically is telling us that we're gonna move forward on an agreement and give us the it's gonna be the $25,000 to get us moving with Ron numbers, correct?
We would have to agree to that negotiation, because that's okay. Different than what we're proposing, but that's something we could talk to Brian
about.
So
it's just another step to move forward to for you guys to go back to your drawing board, to come back to us and say, okay, here we are. This is our next step. This
yep.
is our next move. Is that basically what it is?
Yeah. It's just the good faith effort is that we're providing a value that's cost much more than $25,000, but you end up doing a lot for free. And so that's why the language was in there to be your guys' advocate throughout the project. But if that value isn't seen, then we have to look at it from the standpoint of is it worth our time to continue on and down this path, which we want to. I mean, so I would suggest if you want to move forward with it and you are okay with spending the 25, put that in writing, start that direction with Brian, and we could probably hash this out in the next couple of days.
We could have what in the next couple of days?
An agreement.
Yeah.
If Brian says, fine, we'll get you the best effort here and show our value, and hopefully we move on. But
so these things are going to come out tomorrow. What are those called? The design something?
Development.
So I mean, nothing against that, but I mean, is that something that could almost be shared with some contractor locally? If you guys don't want to be the construction manager,
you have to ask them.
We need a number. I would agree with that, but I don't know how to go about getting it. Is where I'm at.
This process is something that we do all the time, and we are very well efforted in getting a number based off of design development drawings, just based off the relationships we've had, past project experience. So that's why we will work for your best approach at that. So,
are you going to build a new prison down in Lincoln?
No.
Who's building that?
I don't know.
1,500 beds, they say.
I don't think that's all the way out yet, but I'm not sure who's building it.
Okay.
Well, what's the board want? Where do we want to go from there?
Well, I think the current agreement, I think we isn't quite what we want to do, but if there's a way we can. But I got the impression we really can't change it or do a simplified version.
Like you said, that could be negotiated with Brian.
Yeah.
I have a bad track record on making the move on this deal, so I'm just kind of, I think you guys understand that, so I'm just kind of staying kind of mute right now.
Did I hear you say that when we hire the construction manager at risk, that their cost would be a lot less because you're doing so much more up front and bidding some of that out? Is
correct.
So you... Okay.
On that.
And
so
then at one time, I think you said that what we would pay you, we would see in savings?
Yes. I believe that what the 5% that you would pay us to manage the scopes of work that we talked about and procure on behalf of the county, you would recognize in savings from hiring the CMR or GC.
And I heard that can happen. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
In today's world, who knows? But it's a possibility.
And the benefit is you're moving now. You're not waiting another 10 weeks to just decide whether or not you want pre-con. You're moving now. You can start procuring that material, avoiding escalation. That's the benefit of doing it that way.
10 weeks is a long time. A lot of things can go south in 10 weeks.
We could be shooting a lot of bullets over across the ocean.
Right.
Big ones.
That's, yeah. Could have a big effect.
But life goes on regardless if there's bullets being shot over there or not.
Just so they don't go over here.
Right.
Well, we're here to help explain the process. If it doesn't make sense in the contract, I would just mark up whatever you need, whatever you want marked up, and
see,
start the dialogue and go back and forth. But in the meantime, if you say, we're good if you start the $25,000 and do some pre-con, give us a budget, negotiate the other terms, probably something Brian will be open to, but I'm not speaking for him.
Go ahead, Janet.
Huh?
Go ahead. Scott ain't going to do nothing.
I'm not going to do anything. I have a bad track record with these people.
Like I said, I'm not willing to pursue that agreement for sure, because I think we just want something simple. We just need a cost number.
That's what.
So we'll wind it, huh?
Well, that's we look to start out with. That's what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm. I guess I make a motion not to pursue this agreement with Whites because it's not what we wanted.
You make a motion not to?
Not to approve the agreement that Kim has.
I second it.
Because that's what we're supposed to be doing, approve or not approve.
But
there's no agreement to approve approve.
It's a draft.
There's no agreement to do it. I don't know how. That's not on the agenda.
If you don't spend the $25,000, you're not going to get the number you need, and that we need.
Yeah, it's basically the board to approve or not to approve
pursuing
a new agreement with the Whites Company. Okay, so that's basically what it is. So the new agreement is, the contract that is here, it basically becomes moving forward with a new agreement with them. Okay, between obviously
a version that we
still have the right to say yes, no, but it's the next movement is what it is.
A simplified version of that just has the
whatever Brian, correct?
Yep. Would you agree to the $25,000 of pre-construction with negotiated terms of the contract?
Exactly. Perfect. I'll make that motion, what he just said.
Let's hear it again.
No, I don't know what's going
on. I need to write it down.
Yeah,
don't. $25,000 and negotiate
terms of the contract.
Kim, is that okay?
Wouldn't it be better to have the terms of the contract there before you voted on it?
Absolutely.
We're not approving a contract.
It's just, do you want to pursue a new agreement with Whites or not at this point?
With a new draft?
I thought we already sent one to them.
It's just pursuing.
That basically said that. Didn't we just send one to them that said that for $25,000 we want it? And then they rejected it? So I guess that's where I'm confused.
They hadn't signed it, so it wasn't.
Yeah. And then we got this one back that had some other stuff in it.
Yeah. And so it's, I mean, does the board want to negotiate something for a new agreement with them or not? Is all you have to decide today.
So go back towards the one that we originally had and see. I guess that's where I'm fuzzy.
I don't know what negotiation would bring, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one we originally sent.
Negotiation would, if you came back and said we would agree to the $25,000 in pre-con and we would negotiate the other terms of the contract, then we can move forward with the pre-con. But if we want to just redo the terms, we can redo the terms, see where it goes. I'm not going to speak for Brian, because we have risk involved in providing you a detailed estimate that says this is what it's going to cost you, and then we don't have any involvement in the job. Contractor B comes in, gives you a price that's way above and beyond what we had. What value did that? I mean, and we didn't have any control over it. There's risk there for us. And so that's why there should, on the back half of it, we would like something more. But if we can't agree to that, then we're basically going back to whatever that initial agreement is and if Brian's okay with it.
But you'd get an early look at everything, and you should be able to come in with a, I mean, when we did go out with a real bid, you would have that opportunity to have looked at it early to give a, to be part of the bidding process.
Sometimes the more you know, the worse off you are. Our job in this process is to not give you a low number, it's to give you the actual number. Our bid, they are giving you a number based off of what they're seeing, and then change ordering you for everything they didn't see or isn't completely documented that we probably already caught during the pre-construction phase. That's the difference. So,
but if you got an IDOC figure, how that would, I mean, can you? It would look to me like there wouldn't be no change orders.
Right, as long as there's no changes to the design, yeah, and there's no unforeseen conditions like groundwater or unanticipated weather delays, there's no reason that exceeds the number.
Well, that would only give you an extension of time if it's bad weather.
GCs are a part of time, though. The project is, unless you make it a lump sum, but the time of a project manager and a superintendent, we're going way past what we were supposed to talk about here. But the time, this is why you need us. The time for the general contractor, if he hits groundwater and it extends him 30 weeks, he's going to look for the 30 weeks in addition to what he was, because he's still there working on site, but if he can't do the activities that are on the critical path that they said, we're going to do this in 25 months, but then they hit groundwater or there's unanticipated weather delays that are outside of the contract, they're going to look for compensation on their time for being on the project.
Yeah, that's the last thing. We don't have to worry about that here, but I understand what you're saying, but you get a sheet bottom and everything else.
Yep.
But that's not the case.
You guys don't have groundwater here?
No.
That's good.
You do on the river.
But we get all those core sample things.
Groundwater here is about 24 foot.
Did you do a long-term observation on it?
It's just where it is. We're in this.
Well, I can share stories on the past project where that wasn't done, and there was groundwater.
Or the water found its way at one point in time.
Yeah, throughout the rest of the project.
I guarantee you that.
Well, we're here to assist. We've been here before. The terms have been, however you guys, if you guys vote on it to go back to the original terms, then we just got to bring it back to Brian. But.
Okay. So, I don't know, I was babbling there for a second, and then other things started being talked about again, and like I said, I
thought we already voted on this thing.
Well, we didn't vote, but I kind of put it, some kind of a motion together, and then it kind of changed a little bit in some wording, so I'd like to know
Janet
what the wording
voted
is.
To not approve the contract, and that's not on the agenda to do that. Am I?
It's just pursuing. Do you want to pursue it or not? Not saying that you would sign the draft.
No, not right. Nothing's going to be signed, but we just want to pursue it to get a number so we can get
For us, for the feds, and so then we can get it to the general public, so then the STAR can put it in the paper, and so then we can either say, giddy up, we're going to move forward one way or the other, correct?
For $25,000.
For $25,000.
That was the...
Ron, are you with us yet?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, we got $400,000 roughly invested into this guy already. Right. So,
and
you know...
And the drafts are coming out tomorrow, so...
Right, so, so I think, you know...
And I make a motion. Why am I voting for that?
Are you voting for it? Did you make a motion?
No. You are.
You already made the motion, Scott.
I did make a motion.
Oh, I'll second it.
Okay.
There's already a second.
What's that? I don't know what the hell's even going on right now. That's my motion, okay?
It has not been seconded.
It has not been seconded. But Larry just seconded.
Yeah, all I got is better.
What?
Try seconding Jan's motion.
Okay, whatever.
If all I got is spend $25,000, I'm okay with it.
Is that all it cost us, is $25,000?
We have to negotiate.
The only thing that's on the agenda is, do you want to pursue a new agreement with Whites? There's no amount listed.
Okay.
It's just...
Whether or not you're going to go forward or not.
Do you want to try to work something out with them?
So who has a motion on the table? Is it Janet and Troy right now?
I think there's two, aren't they?
There's two. Yeah. Mine, I maybe misunderstood what I was trying to do here. I thought we were talking about that one, and I was not, you know, I knew that one wasn't quite what we wanted to do.
So?
So I can...
Or where do we go from here?
Withdraw then? That one.
So. Draw it?
Yeah, withdraw that one.
And Scott, your motion is?
Spend $25,000.
My motion is to move forward, to approve pursuing a new agreement, okay, with the Whites Company, with a maximum of $25,000 to get us.
I don't know.
Do I say a maximum of $25,000? I don't say the maximum? Okay. Anyways, just to pursue the agreement then, okay? Everything's a cloud right now. We need a number is what we need.
That agreement, I think the wording is not correct. Not the way we want it.
That's negotiable.
That's what Yeah, whoever wants to add anything into my motion, feel free to. But I'd like to move forward and get a number. So if it's moving forward and pursuing a new agreement, being negotiable on both parties, I don't know how you want to word that. I don't know.
Pursuing an agreement with the Whites to provide a cost estimate would be what you're actually saying. Yeah.
Okay.
So they may come back and it might be more than $25,000, but again, that's what you're after, is the cost estimate.
See, Ron, that's why you make the big bucks, okay? You know how to make those phrases in a good manner.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
But it might cost more than
$25,000.
Is that right? $225,000?
True. It could be.
But they would come back to us again, right?
No.
No? Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't just be an agreement that you haven't seen. Yeah.
So we're not going to accomplish nothing today.
Outside of redoing a agreement.
Well, we don't know what the cost is.
But we can, when we have that, apparently when it comes back, it'll say what it is. Well, how much it'll cost to get a cost? How much it'll cost to get a cost?
Well, a while ago,
have you ever had that happen before?
A little while ago, we had one deal going $25,000 and we were going to get a picture.
I know. I'm confused about that.
Kim was saying that's...
I'm confused about that.
You can't do that, right?
It's just, do you want to pursue a new agreement?
Yeah, a new one.
I don't think there's anything that would let us throw out a number, you know.
So basically, you come back with whatever you talked to them about and make it simpler.
So as written, we don't have to accept it as written.
Right, right. It's just, do you want to keep pursuing something
to get a number?
They sent a draft, did you see the draft?
No, I've never seen it.
It's pretty long.
But
that's
all right, we got time to read it now anyway.
True.
4:30 already. Time to move forward.
Are you still seconding Scott's motion?
If that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. To get a figure. Yeah,
to get a figure.
Well, a new agreement.
A new agreement.
For,
Yeah, whatever. Write down whatever you want to put down, Joan. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I apologize.
New agreement with a new cost to get the total cost.
Okay, new agreement for the new cost to get the total cost for the new agreement so we understand the cost and maybe someday we'll figure out the cost.
Yeah, not to exceed $2 million.
Not to exceed too much money.
Probably right, that's call on this one, huh?
That's my motion.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
No.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay. Peace.
Thank you for coming up. Drive careful on the way home.
Thank you. We'll move on to four miscellaneous. A is Jolene Goebbels, Highway Superintendent Road Report.
Is there no Jolene here today?
Jolene's not here.
Okay. Larry, you want to go ahead and read it?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead? Okay, well, I'll give you the quick road department then.
Nothing new.
It's nothing new. The 6th to the February 19th, they have 26 hours of tree and debris removal. Culvert and road projects, 14 hours. Omaha Avenue Bridge maintenance and 13 hours on Ithaca Way. Looks like asphalt, they have 35 hours. Garbage pickup, 27. Magnet, 10. And obviously there's been no gravel put down. Sign repair and barricading, 10 hours. And obviously the reason why the road concerns of grading was Ithaca. Is that, am I saying that right? Ithaca Way?
Yep.
Okay. So that's the 13 hours of not there. So there's your road report. Any questions for me? I hope not, because I don't know anything else, tell you.
Okay. So we'll move on to B, Sheriff Kleinberg's jail report.
Anybody here to get that?
You want me to do that too? If I would, but I don't have it.
Don't
have a present. Oh, I do have it.
You have it. Pack it.
Okay. You want me to do it? You going to do the jail report? You want me to?
Sheriff here?
All right. We got February 22nd, jail report. We got a total of 74 county inmates. We got 24 federal. Juvenile is 0.87. Total in house is 98. County inmates, 74 for the 22 calendar. Average inmate per day, 24 federal. Looks like the numbers are all the same. 21 to 22 fiscal annual inmate per day is 83. County federal is 20. Juvenile 0.19. Total in house is 103. So then the federal income money 2021 to 2022 January. Marshals 63,756. ICE $160. The total of January is 63,916,94. Federal marshals is for the year, for fiscal federal, I should say, is $349,355.56. ICE, $160. And then that brings a total of the $349. I forget what that is. That Omaha or something? That federal or fiscal?
Federal marshal.
Yeah, okay. That was $65. So that brought it to $349,580.56. So 22 calendar. Federal is 63,916.94. January county contracts, zero. It looks like November phone commissary was $9,617. And then the cost of the inmate per day in 2022, it looks like it was January, it was $69.78, which is probably pretty average. And it says the jail has spent $215,216 for the month of January. The jail is at 53% of the total estimated yearly budget, or 5% under budget for the fiscal year. The jail was at 57% of the total estimated yearly budget in January of 2021. Okay, the jail spent $24,347.05 less than allotted for January, which was 10% under budget for the month. And you see the bookings where they all came from. So yeah, there's your jail report. So
sorry, could somebody open the door?
Okay.
Okay. So,
any questions on the jail report? I can repeat for anybody.
Can we back up on one thing, or is it not?
No, go ahead.
I'm back on that new business item. I mean, do we have to necessarily pursue a new agreement with White? Why couldn't we pursue it with anybody? Because somebody local might be able to give us a price that knows our local market better. It just dawned on me as you left. Why we twice now it's happened to us that we thought we were going to get this for $25,000, and then we signed the contract and sent it back.
Kind of a moot point now because I've already been voted on.
Well, I mean, it can be rescinded. I'm just talking about. You know, we want a price. We agree to that.
Right.
But this is twice that we haven't gotten a chance to.
And this is just, you know, did you want to pursue something? If it turns out it doesn't work, then we
could go to that a local party. Is what you're
saying.
But
at least we're getting the dollar amount, kind of in a way.
If they agree, because we already said it's true.
Yeah, if they agree to do it.
Anyway, I guess that just kind of in my head, that we've struggled with clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Really struggled with clarification on that.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. My fault. I didn't mean to throw things off.
No worries.
Not my intent.
Okay, let's move to C then. Brenda Sale, Extension Associate, University of Nebraska-Lincoln Northeast District, presentation on the Voices for Food grant-funded project working to eliminate hunger in Dakota County.
Thank you.
Hey, Carol.
Thanks.
I haven't seen you forever. How you been?
Good.
You look
yourself?
Good. Yeah, doing okay. Doing all right. Thank you.
This is the official one, and I'll sign the contract.
Brenda, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
I've met
you before, I think.
Yeah,
yeah. So what's happening good with the extension office?
Well, I usually come give you guys a report, but Carol was coming today to do our full extension one, and she included my report, so I thought I'd just hop on really quick. Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of business too, so I'll be brief. The Voices for Food program started 9 years ago. It's to engage stakeholders and community to address food insecurity, and Dakota County is the leader in the state. We have almost half the volunteers, and we provide half the produce for the entire state of Nebraska comes out of Dakota County. Last summer, we put 19,000 pounds of produce back in the food system, meaning we grew it out of 2 grant-funded gardens, and we also collected it from community members, and that all went back into the food pantry system, senior centers, low-income apartments. We have a collaboration with community health, so they're assessing health clients and assessing their health needs, and we have a center in the health department, Sioux Lane Community Health, where clients can pick up produce when they're there for their medical appointments. Our produce program provided produce to over 4,000 participants last year. We also run the Dakota City Food Pantry. It's the only food pantry that's independently ran. All the other food pantries are sponsored and ran by churches. We fundraise for this through the community, through stakeholders, through people donating. And that pantry fed 4,800 people in 2021 and provided food to over 1,200 households, excuse me. We also do education in the food pantry system, so not only are we getting them fresh food access, we're teaching them how to use it, so we do food demonstrations, education, flyers. We manage a Facebook page where they can get education. There's some comments down there just so what people said about the program and how it's impacted them. A lot of people during COVID said they wouldn't have eaten had it not been for our program. On the back side, you can see how Dakota County compares to the rest of the state. Like I said, the entire state out of this program, the Growing Together Nebraska, produced 48,000 pounds of produce, and Dakota County did almost 20. And our volunteers, we had 87 that did over 2,000 hours of service to this project. The food that goes back in the community is a $32,000 value to Dakota County, and the contribution in our volunteers is over $53,000, people that are meeting the food needs for low-income people in this community. So just wanted to give you a quick update on our program, let you know what's going on here in the community for the Voices for Food Project.
I know you guys do a lot of great things.
Yeah, yeah. I really heard good things about the program.
A lot of great things. Yeah, good. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Volunteers? Yeah,
I'm sorry, did you talk to me?
Yeah, I said I've heard several people that are interested in volunteering for
this. Oh, my number's on the back, on the back page on the bottom, or Dakota County Extension, I can email, or yes, we need volunteers.
Okay.
We deliver about 500 pounds of produce a week, and we really need people to go to the garden and pick it up and deliver it to the pantries. That's a truck and a couple people, and that would help us tremendously. So that's the area that we struggle with, is moving.
Where do you deliver those to? To people's homes?
You go to the, you know, Marion Kane, Tri-State Communications over by Lewis and Clark. That blue, the Tri-State Communications is the blue with the big tower.
Yeah.
So that's where our garden is. So it gets picked up there.
I know there's a big garden there, yes.
Yes, and then it just goes to one of the four food pantries. So First Lutheran up by... on the avenue, or St. Paul's up by the library, or Dakota City.
So it's already picked. You just need to.
It's already in. It's in crates.
You just
and
need
you
to
pull up and you load it into your truck, and then you drive to the pantry and you load it into the pantry. And it's probably a 40-minute commitment. And you can volunteer once a month or once a
month. You call Larry. All right, we got pickups. We'll go do that for you, won't we, Larry? You would be glad to do it.
I'll take you with me. You can load it.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. We'll use this truck. I'll break my back and we'll get it done.
You can have little parts. You can push.
Whatever. We'll do that.
You're younger and stronger. You'll be able to help me.
I'll help you.
Okay.
But just when you get ready to do that, seriously, give me a call.
Okay. Yeah. I will.
Yep.
Thank you.
I would love to do that.
I'm all over the place anyway. What difference?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Sounds like fun. Yeah.
Sounds like fun hanging out with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Sure. So I guarantee our report's going to be easier to read than the one you were talking about earlier. Yeah. If you turn on the front cover, it has the contents. It has a letter telling a little bit about what you'll find in here, a summary of budget, a staff listing of who is the staff that has direct responsibilities to cover, and that's behind the blue piece of paper. We do have some new staff in our area, and they don't have reports, as I've noted there. And then behind the green piece is outreach, which Brenda just went over, the Voices for Food one that's in there. We also included the pantry. There's some articles that we've written for different things. Some examples of some virtual things that we do, what happened in the orchard that we work with, 4-H things in there, and so we just wanted to give that to you so you kind of knew what had happened for us over the past year. So if you have any questions, we'd be glad to answer, and we'd love to have any of you come over at some point in time to our office and kind of stop and visit with us for a while.
I haven't done that for a while. I used to come by once in a while.
Yeah, you'll still have to knock on the window. Our doors are still currently locked because we do have a federal worker in our building, and so they haven't unlocked the doors, but if you knock, we can let you in.
So why do they have the door locked? Because it's a federal worker?
Because evidently the federal government is still locking all their doors.
Really? Hmm. Because they're scared or because of the COVID?
I have to ask them.
I guess I don't know. I didn't know they were locking the doors. I had no idea. Doesn't sound very safe to me, but whatever. As long as you can get out from the inside going out.
You got federal prisoners. How's that work?
I guess they're locked in, aren't they? Listen, this is very nice and very well put together.
So,
which I'm not surprised, Co, because you're always very...
Two pages on each staff member of what the major things they've done. We do a lot of little things that never make reports, but some of the major things are the things that really are.
How did the, did you guys do the robot thing again this year?
Yeah, Angela does robots every year, so.
Was it a success?
With COVID, there's not as many kids in it at this point, but yeah, it's.
I remember at one time it was a really big deal.
It's really fun to see kids that maybe aren't sports kids or something like that.
Yeah.
It really shines.
Yeah.
So we try to have opportunities for many kinds of experiences.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This makerspace that looks like mostly for kids. Have they ever thought of that for adults?
The library did have a makerspace for a while, mm-hmm. and now there's one on the bottom of Hamilton over in Sioux City.
Okay.
We changed library directors in South Sioux after the makerspace. The one that was before, I pushed that they might look for grants for to get some of that to have in there, but with the new director, I don't think that's her.
That's not her cup of tea. Yeah. Not
her. We don't ever hear anything from the library anymore for some reason. I don't understand why. They used to like us, but they don't like us no more.
If you don't give them any money, they may not.
Oh, is that what it is? It's all about money. It's, and everything's wrapped around money, of course. I forgot about that. Thanks, Carol.
You guys probably want to get on with the meeting.
Lots of good stuff. Thanks, Carol.
Yeah, no, you're going to do a great job. Thanks.
That takes care of D, too. We'll move on to E. Mike Weinberg, business agent for Sheriff FOP Lodge 49, regarding the Washington County 17 CIR 114 2011 union contract negotiation case number 1247 and how he feels it applies to Dakota County regarding the 2021 union contract negotiations.
They asked me to approach you about getting an opportunity to talk with somebody knowledgeable on two issues that I feel are critical in the contract. The more minor issue is the violation of the arbitration rules in the state of Nebraska, and the specific code section I think that was involved was 25-2602.02, and it makes that arbitration clause void under the Kramer case. And I think that's correctable. But I need somebody to correct it. I need somebody to talk to. The other issue is the issue of health care. And what's happened is the health care issue is not negotiable. And of course, we feel, based upon a particular case that was tried a number of years ago in Washington County for their police, that it is a negotiable issue, and thus there's no impasse, really, because if you won't negotiate on a mandatory subject to bargaining, you don't have an impasse. So you need somebody to talk to see if that issue could be resolved and get a contract. And that's basically what I'm here to ask. I need a person to talk to. And I don't have anybody to talk to at this time. And I realize these are legal issues, but I can't go to your counsel, either your county attorney or Jerry Pixley, without permission from this particular board to see where we're at, to see what we can correct, if anything. So I'm not saying you have to, but you may want to take a look at it. Does anybody have any questions? I have provided a site to the county attorney and also the site of the Kramer case, and I have provided to the board the actual document of the Washington County case a number of years ago that was tried before the Commission of Industrial Relations. It was done in the year 2011, and you might recognize the name in there, being one of your advisors, but if you could do that, that would be gratefully appreciated. And if anybody has any further questions, if the county attorney has any questions, or any of you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them at this time. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity.
Any questions?
I'd like to have an arbitration clause that works when somebody proposes a contract to me and part of the contract is void, and there is no way to enforce it because it's void. I like to have a meaningful contract. A lot of attorneys like that. And possibly get the health care corrected, because that issue is critical. The police officers, being in the profession that they're in, you know, usually 2 to 3 damages a year. So thank you for your time. If you'd be good enough to, I've given you my number. If you give me a chance to tell me what your resolution is. I'm not asking for an immediate decision. You may want to go into conference, which you have a right to do, but I would like a response, if you could, one way or the other, so I know which way to tell my client to go.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for coming.
Appreciate it. Okay. so we can move on to the next one.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to go to F, approve renewal of employee assistance program contract for services between Dakota County and Mercy Business Health effective March 1, 2021 to March 1, 2022.
I think it's something they've done for years. I think it's a great thing that they do for the money. What's that cost us anyways, roughly? I remember, but I forget.
It's about $270 a month.
Yeah, I think it's well worth it. And the few things that they do, and they come in,
And when we dropped our mental health coverage, this is what we replaced it with. It was a service that will treat you or talk to you and phone consultation.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve and renewal the EAP contract services between Dakota County and Mercy Business Health effective March 1st of 2021 to March 1st of 2022. 22 to 23. March 1st.
That's what the contract.
Yes, that's the contract. But yeah, okay. That's my motion. Enjoy.
I'll second your motion, Scott. Yeah. Roll call.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move to G. Approved chair to sign agreement between Dakota County and Ten Point Construction Company Incorporated for completion of all work specified to North Bluff Road Repairs 2022 per bid awarded for Section C in the amount of $27,095.
Anybody know anything about
that? What is that? Is Jolene?
Well, that's that work up on
North Bluff Road.
North
you're
Bluff
ready,
Road.
You're just signing the
contract.
Contract.
So it's already
awarded. Yep, awarded it.
Oh yeah, that's the one we did.
A small portion. Yeah. The other guy got the majority of it.
That's right. It's two bidders on that one. Yeah, that's right.
I'll make a motion for you to sign the 10-point.
Second.
Construction.
Troy.
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move to H. Approved chair to sign correspondence to .gov domain registration to obtain and maintain Dakota County NE.gov.
The master of the domain.
The master of the
domain. Thank you, Joan. I think that means something totally different. But anyways, it's pretty cut and dry, right, Joan? It's just a...
pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the domain to have the website of Dakota County, ne.gov. So I will make a motion for the chair to sign.
And we're already doing it, right?
Yep.
I was thinking. Some people are. Some departments are. I'll second that.
Okay, roll call.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. Okay, we'll move to I.
Oh, yeah, here we go. That's what I've been waiting for.
Approved projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA relief funding, approved employee criteria qualification, a dollar amount for county employee premium pay.
Anybody get any cheaters for me?
Walmart's down the road.
Look at Randy. Randy's like, I got some cheaters, pal. Okay, so basically, let me get this straight. Today we are talking about, the way I read this, is the approved projects, okay? That's obviously plural with an S, with the monies from the ARPA relief funding, okay? But today we are going to approve employee criteria slash qualification and dollar amount for the county employee premium pay. Okay, so today's the day where we figure out
time frame. Time frame. Is that where we're?
Well, is it a time frame? Is it
amount?
Is it amount? Is it a dollar amount? Is it a time frame? Is it a one time? It's. I guess there's some things to be discussed. So.
Last time you asked me to pull for the retirement and the FICA dollar amounts for if we paid him $1,000, and then there's options for $1,500 or $3,000, and then you also talked about paying. I think it was Seward County that paid $2 an hour for hours worked up to $4,000. So I did that scenario for you also with FICA and retirement.
Okay. What makes more sense? I was going to do this. I was going to do some computer work and pull up, and I should know this, but I don't know this. If you do a one-time pay or if you do it over time, the overtime is less FICA, correct? I can't see that. That's the reason why I'm asking you. I really can't see that. I can't see it. I'm sorry.
I can't either.
I can't.
Well, let me put my computer back on.
If I look at it with one eye, I can.
Well, and I've had LASIK done, but this is just a fraction, just smaller than what I'm used to, I think.
Well, there's a lot of numbers on a small piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, there's a lot
to put down. Information. And I did not. We talked about doing it in a separate payroll. So I don't think you're going to have that, right? If you're going to do it in a separate payroll, you're not going to have as much taxes taken out of that.
Right,
check.
Because it'll be a whole different payroll time. So if you did it on the week that is actual payroll, obviously it'll be a separate check, correct? Or a separate deposit, I should say. Is that correct?
It would be two checks.
It'd be two checks, right?
Two checks.
You get your regular, and then you would have this here.
ARPA check.
So not as much money would come out of that check then.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe I can make some sense of this here by looking at this here. Yeah, I see the $1,000, I see the $1,500, I see the $3,000, and then I see the $3,100 to the $3,100 of 20 to 21 hours worked, and then $2 up to $4,000, and you got your FICA. Okay.
Or $1 with no cap. And then I took all your. And that's all the hours worked. I mean, that includes vacation and holiday. That's all their hours.
Okay.
So then I went back and I took just hours worked, regular plus overtime hours with no vacation, sick, and holiday.
Okay. It's making sense now. So by the time the ARPA pay, premium pay, at $1,000, correct me if I'm wrong here, is the $65,200. And then by the time you do the FICA retirement, total is the $74,718, correct? And then if the $1,500 is $97,305, with FICA and retirement becomes $112,507. And if there was a $3,000, that comes to $194,810 roughly, and then with your FICA and retirement, it becomes $225,000. And then it shows up to the time worked, up to $2, up to $4,000. Okay, that becomes $257,000, and then by the time you do your FICA and retirement, there's $15,000 and $17,000. That comes almost to $300,000. Okay, and then obviously the dollar is half of that dollar amount.
there's a lot of people that maxed at 4,000.
Right.
And are you creating criteria?
As current full-time versus part-time versus people that worked the period that didn't work at all, that are terminated now.
No notice, that kind of thing.
Or no people terminated. What? Yeah.
I like the idea of current people that are still here. I feel they're still, they remain loyal to the organization. And that's my thought.
So if you were working...
So yeah, the top half of that.
So if let's just say, for instance, if you worked March, you were working March 2020 and you left in September of 2020, you get zero.
So I guess that's kind of my thought. Okay. Somebody that's still here and has continued to get us through
this. I mean, I just want to clarify this all. I mean,
I kind of, maybe the absent, I think, the people that work during that time that were employed here, I mean, they were in the thick of it, so.
What about the person who just came on here a year ago, 6 months?
We'd have to figure a time frame of from when to when, correct?
Well, if you're basing it on hours worked, you don't have, it is what it is.
But I mean, like from March of last year or
sure, but you got to look at.
That's at the bottom here.
That's at the bottom.
Employee terminated. No, that's terminated. Anybody that was, you can see at the very bottom. There's a percent. So there's some people that were hired that are still here, but that were hired in February of 2021, and I prorated them at 11 months.
Oh, okay, I see.
So they would only get 8% of that, or if you look. Actually, that Ricardo Chavez, he was higher than, he actually worked no hours. So that's, maybe that's somebody that, and then Chantel in your office, she worked 56 hours, so then that would be, her check would be $64. I mean, it's, or $100, so you're pro. If you do it on an hourly basis, you take into account their length of duty. The only one I didn't know what to do with was Joe O'Neill. Technically he's part time with no benefits. So we have some other part time with no benefits people on here. Some part-time jailers with no benefits. I mean, if you want to maybe take them off, that maybe need to take into consideration. They, like Troy said, they were here, they worked it, and they didn't put in a lot of hours, so it wouldn't be a very big a dollar amount.
I get it. And me personally, I mean, we could have the debate on, hey, if you're not here, and I understand exactly where Janet's coming from.
And I do, too.
And I understand where you're coming from. And I guess, by listening and watching and seeing what's happened in other entities, not just a government entity, but, just people that I think that got compensated that they were working here at the time. I've heard that, even like, with other things. I don't want to get into the particulars, but
what did you just say?
that people were compensated if they were working during this time. Okay, so
yeah, they got paid.
Huh?
Yeah, they got paid.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, like, if whatever we come up with, if they were working here at that time,
if they left after in the middle of a work day without notice?
Yeah,
after threatening to punch another employee.
That's awesome.
Actually, I had that happen.
In your
office? That is someone on this list, yes. A former
people there.
Former employee.
Jeebus, finally you're going to have him go.
Him? I think it was a her.
It was a her.
I have that feeling.
And more than one left without notice.
So if you would pay anybody that's terminated, you might want to set some criteria for that.
Or, that's a good point.
Or not. It almost gets like this at that point. He said, she said.
Well. We've proven.
I don't know. And then we have those seasonal health department workers. Like I said, you go hourly. And then there's some current employees hired after 3/1. But I think you've decided on that, right? The date is the March of 20 to March of 21. I mean, that's kind of what I was told.
That was the thick of things the first year.
Mm-hmm. It was.
That was the,
second year, the vaccination started to come out and people were...
The masks were pretty heavily enforced, I guess, for most places.
The hourly route looks to me like it'd be the fairest route.
The what?
Hourly.
Hourly?
It'd be the fairest.
I kind of like, as I looked at that last column there, I mean, I know from doing payroll, the nurse in the jail did a lot of overtime, and she is the one that has the highest amount. So, I mean, I know she's the one who actually worked a lot during that period. So, I kind of like the thought of people that were here, because I know there weren't people that weren't here because they were sick or whatever, and the other people had to cover for them. So there were some people that really booked some hours because of shortages.
So
wherever.
Will that, if you would do the hourly, would that be a separate check as well? It'd just be, it'd be a whole separate. Yeah, you'd have to keep it separate just so you know where you're at.
What would you call it?
Up to. Well, you'd probably have to call it your.
Is it a stipend?
But if you call it a stipend, or if you just call it, would you call it ARPA funds? And however. I'm assuming there has to be some type of a.
It's going to go on their W-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be taxed. It's going to be taxed.
Premium pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's taxable.
That's kind of what it's talking. I mean, that's kind of what.
Tim, I just used 2080 for you.
I was assuming you would do that for all salaried people that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought salaried people. I thought I didn't think salaried people were included.
I'm sure you guys will figure that out.
Oh, whoa, just kidding.
Elected officials,
I meant to say.
Oh.
But you make as much as elected official.
Thank you, I appreciate
that. I had to throw that in there. I seen that in the paper. Mm-hmm. Jesus. 97.249.
So salary people aren't
not
in here?
Me.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Just not elected officials. So Randy is salary and Tim Decker is salary.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought
Doug Johnson, Mark Nelson, I think, are the salary people.
Yeah.
Sheriff's Office of Jail.
I did not put comp time in. I wasn't sure when it was earned. I don't know.
Just hours worked.
I think you just need to make it simple.
Hours worked.
Just first column.
I, for some reason, I like that as well.
And I don't know, I mean, just that first column number, maybe? And then just take the FICA and the retirement out of that, because that's part of it, like you would normally do? Because that's normally how you would do it.
What did you say? What column are you looking at?
Like this one, and then you just take the retirement and the... FICA out of it, because that's normally how you would do it. You take person's hours times salary to get a number, and then out of there you take. No, you don't. That's employer, isn't it?
That's the employee that's going to have that reduced. You're going to be paying that gross wage, and you're going to be matching the FICA, and you're going to be paying the retirement. So the county will be paying the dark figure
on the right. Okay.
Total.
Okay.
How did it get back off of there? But the employee would, they would get that first column, and then they would have retirement taken out and their FICA taken out.
Right, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
So it wouldn't be quite that. The net wouldn't be, but the county's still paying that gross. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know how my...
I understand what you're saying.
Yep.
either that or keep it really simple and just do the first column on the other side. But I just kind of like that.
Just a one-time pay, you mean? Or are you talking the other column of?
Yeah, I don't know. But I do think then the people that actually worked a lot get more.
You know, me personally, I think you guys know how I felt, because I think I've expressed myself a few different times on employees and, you know, working and, you know, what the alternative was, you know, and I know that it was in the paper, you know, last week or whatever, and that's fine, but just the way the government has ruined a lot of people, you know, during this time. And, you know, I know that it's going to be real easy, folks, to be able to spend this money, because everybody has their hand out, you know, different communities, and I get it, and they've got next amount of dollars, and that's a whole other issue that we need to figure out. But, you know, like I said, it's at the end of the day, you know, the people that, you know, that was here, you know, working and keeping the doors open, that need to be, you know, compensated. And I think you guys know what I feel. You know, I kind of talked to Bob on it via text, and I kind of know where he's coming from. But like I said, I want to make sure it's worth their while. I don't want people to, you know, say, you know, I mean, I think anything would be appreciated, but, you know, I guess it's really hard thinking about this. We just got to make sure that we know that, you know, people were here, people were working, and, you know, had the doors open, you know, so that's huge. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. So, you know, I would not be opposed to, you know, even look at the $2, you know, the dollar. It really doesn't make much difference to me. I think more the better. I'm on board of at least giving them something, obviously, and that's what we're here for. But I just think that could have been real easy for them to come up with any solution and not want to work, and could have been home making more money. So let's just make it worth our people's while. Good people make our jobs a lot easier, and that's a true story, because we all know in this boardroom, I don't give a crap where it's coming from, what department, shit rolls downhill and it's right to here. This is what happens.
Yeah.
That's my two cents. So are you packing up already yet?
Getting ready to head to the door. Hurry
up. Is there any other? You had your email had some good points about. I was trying to think if there was other points that you had that were relevant.
I printed it out.
Like whether that they left on good terms, would they be eligible for rehire? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't, yeah, that's where it probably gets tricky on that second batch of those folks. And I don't know if we can revisit that, because I almost have to talk to all of them, managers, to get that part. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the top is pretty clear. Those people are here. They were here then. And I like the idea of paying
that's
people.
That's doable. I mean, that's doable if you wanted to pay terminated employees
Without, I guess, I don't want to get us in any hot water either, but I think the top half is probably easier to justify, maybe.
They're still there working.
Mm-hmm. And we got their hours and all that sort of thing, so we know.
That's a fine line. It really is. I mean, it's like, you know, what do? You know, do you... You know, somebody that was here for 6 months or 8 months, and then depending upon how they left, do you compensate?
A week or two.
Exactly. I mean, do you just say, hey, the people that worked from 20 to 21 or 20 to 2021 that are still here, let's compensate those people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's just different ways you can go about it.
We got to try to keep it halfway simple how we do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the simplest way to do it, because if you went down the list of people that were here, then all of a sudden that they left, what, you know, did they leave on a good note? Did they leave on a bad note? I mean, how do you determine, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask each department head.
I mean, yeah, is there any legal binding, anything in that nature that, no? I mean,
I don't think it's strictly up to the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that idea. As long as, you know, the department heads, you could go to each department head and say, you know, what was the reasoning for this person walking out or termination or whatever the case may be? Was they a good employee? Did they do their job while they were here? That's not a bad idea. Because I think there is a few people that were here that left afterwards that probably deserved something. Yes?
Yes.
You know?
I think so.
I do too. And there's probably people that aren't. So I think it can be a discretion upon each department head or elected official. Do you like that idea?
Is it better that you get to ask June as the department head rather than the department head? Well, if you got an employee and they quit or something.
Stop here, you know.
It does. It does stop here. I don't give a crap if something happens in the sheriff's department or whatever. It all ends up right here. This is the room it ends up at.
He gets shot down and he gets one free.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about right now.
Okay, so you got somebody out here had a guy quit.
Yep.
All right.
The road department?
Well, whatever. Ever. It don't matter. He quits. Okay. So the department head said, well, he went in good anyway, so just don't worry about him.
Yep.
Well, then that individual will come back to the department head person, not to us. For not getting him his fair share. You know what I mean?
Well, as long as if he said to him, hey, if he came to Joan or if we had a piece of paper or whatever, however you want to have it wrote up, the reason why that person should or should not have been paid is what it boils down to. So it's either elected official or it's a department head that's going to kind of make that decision. Because if anybody's going to be fired or terminated or if they just walk away, there's a reason why. And usually if they found a different job, and maybe they were a good employee and they left because to better themselves, so then it's like, okay, well let's pay them. Okay, I don't know what the answer is. You know, we could talk about it. I mean, or no, he wasn't doing his job, or he or she wasn't doing his job, or they were wanting to fight in the wrestling room and wanted to have a oil wrestling match that we weren't invited to, Larry. I'd be pissed off, wouldn't you?
No, I would. I couldn't stand that violence.
Okay, all right. But anyways, sorry. I get a little bad one once in a while. It happens.
So what do we need to have that discussion, or can we just talk about the top half for now, where we know we feel comfortable, but the other we
don't? So basically, we're going to approve the employee criteria and qualification.
Oh, okay. So we don't have to make a decision today. Is that what that is? Sorry.
Yeah, we do have to make a decision today.
Think about it.
Let's get it done.
Let's get it done so we know where we're at. Is that okay, everybody? Let's get it done because it says approve employee criteria qualification and dollar amount for the county employee premium pay. So we're going to call this a premium pay. I like it. Okay, so I kind of liked the criteria that kind of came through out there to me a little bit. I think it should be left up to the department head or the elected official with their office from the time of March 1st of 2020 to March 1st of 2021. I like that idea. Now the question is, what do we want to do on this sheet? How do you want to pay these people?
Well, I still think the fairest way would be by the hour. That way,
I like the hour too, and I like the $2 per hour is what I like. I like that idea.
I like the $1 per hour. That's a nice.
Well, does the gross come out to be how much different? I can't
read
it.
Let's do $5 and just let's get it over with and make sure our people are happy.
Oh, geez.
Jesus, I'm just kidding.
We're in a budget here.
Yeah, I'm aware we're in a budget. I'm just teasing you. I don't know, whatever you guys want to do. I like the two.
What's the gross on the $2 deal?
The gross on the $2 deal? By the time it's all said and done.
Who are we all paying? Yeah, that's part of the trick too. Yeah.
It's 294,903. So 295,000.
Roughly 300 grand. That's with everything.
No, that's just the people, the current employees.
Oh, so then you'd have a few of them.
Yeah.
You'd have a few stragglers in there.
And then if you paid,
by the time you get all done.
If you have a few, some of the part-time. The part-time people depends on who you pay and who you don't pay. If you paid everybody, it was another 93,000. And
okay, I see.
If you paid the seasonal Dakota County health people that were here, that's another 3,960. The people that are terminated are going to get the gross amount. They will have no retirement match. They will have no FICA taken out. They will be paid through accounts payable. So that's another, I can't pay them through payroll.
Because they're not an employee.
They're not an employee. So that's why there's no FICA and retirement behind their names. So the simple thing would be current employees.
Well, the simple thing would be the
current employees.
The current employees. It probably would be, wouldn't it?
Is there anybody that retired during that time? I mean,
yeah.
That would be the...
That's the kicker that's in the back of my mind.
Yeah, the guy that actually retired, has been here for, I don't know if anybody has.
Well, Fred Kellogg's an example.
Okay.
He's an example.
But, I mean, that'd be the one... That seems like that's kicking somebody when they gave their everything, I guess. I don't know.
You know, and then you have, you know, then you can look at Natasha that ran, you know, the health department, you know, and then after, you know, she walked away, not when she didn't retire, but went home to do whatever. So, I mean, there's definitely some scenarios. What about this idea here? I could throw out a lot of different ideas. You know, I know.
About $2 for the people that are still there and $1 for the ones that aren't.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Well, that's another thing.
School of Health.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's not a bad idea. $2 for the people that are still here that worked during that time, and the people that left, if they feel like they're qualified, do $1. If, again, the department head or the elected official thinks that he or she should be paid, that'll change things up.
You like my pen?
Huh?
You like my pen?
Is that your pen?
Yeah.
I can see if I can find it over there.
I'll put a whole hand for it.
All right, thank you.
We're always out of pens around here.
Where'd you steal this from?
Losing Suitland.
Oh, yeah. Losing Suitland.
I get one every time I go in to sign a piece of paper.
Did you give him a check?
Yeah, well, they gave me a check.
Oh.
Yeah. But I figured that it'd be better to, you know, get them in use because they could dry up, you know, they won't put them
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah, that's nice. Thank you.
I had a whole bunch of my trucks. So I just said, well,
bring them in.
You know, I just did.
So what's everybody think of that idea, I guess?
I like Janet. I'm more on Janet's thinking.
I think I forgot already.
The dollar across the board?
Yeah.
You don't like the two, the people that are still here that work through the whole time, and then that's going to change the whole dollar money if you went to the dollar. I'm telling you, you know, and I understand that money's going to go quick, and I don't want to spend it like a drunken sailor, you know, or, you know... I'm telling you, the employees will make or break you, and they, I don't know, I think good employees should be compensated, and,
what, $1.50?
Negotiate?
There you go.
we just want to make it simple, and figure out a way, and, I like Penny's way. Penny made a lot of good sense. Penny's a smart lady.
I appreciate that.
And I, seriously, I mean, it makes sense, but I like it.
Well, and, you know, even if we did the current employees and then just a few of the ones that we know, like the Fred and the Natasha, it seemed like the rest of them, they left.
Natasha quit, right?
Yeah, she was.
She went to a different job.
Actually, you know? The day she started, I think, was right. The day Tyson, they were out there.
So, okay, this is even a better one. Why don't we just do $2 across the board with everybody and forget about the people that left during that time? Okay, don't worry about them.
It'd be easier for Joan on paperwork. No,
yeah. It'd be real easy for Joan on paper.
I don't think Joan's ever got a problem with that. Do this thing.
It all takes
well,
time.
I'm just saying, I mean, if you eliminate those people, I guess the dollar, extra dollar is going to cost some extra money, but the people that are still here that work during that time, it's going to, you know, that's not a bad idea.
I thought we already talked about that.
Did we talk about that already?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we went to a different subject, but now we just come back to that one. And I don't...
I'm telling you,
get what you want to do. It's a vote, all right? You guys want to vote? You want to vote? Let's vote. Let's figure it out. But I just... I'm telling you.
What was your number?
I like the two. I do. I like the two.
For all the hours worked?
For the hours worked.
And that's for the people that are currently here?
Still here.
Still here.
That was here from March 1st, 2020, still here.
How about $1.50?
I'm okay with $1.50.
Like,
I just think you just got to make it worth their while. It's all choice.
I'm looking at the dollar amount if we would pay $2 on hours worked. Versus not paying for vacation. Basically, if you took that last column and put that's a dollar, take the $1.50, you raise that by 50%, you'd be it.
I can do that real quick.
Yeah, that'd be the easy, quick way to do it.
What, 190 or something?
The current employees.
294 versus 282. It's not a big savings.
Okay, what did you want to do? $1.50? Yeah, you just take that last column and
add 30%.
Add. And 50 cents, wouldn't it be? 50%.
Yes,
50%.
It's going to cost about. It'll be about $2.25. Won't it be?
What? I don't know what columns you're looking.
Right
at.
Here. Just look at this column.
Okay, what
here.
Column?
The dollar versus the two.
Like the regular hours, no vacations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actual
that
hours
one.
Work. Actual
okay.
Hours
so
work.
I did. I just
actual
redid that
work.
Times $2. Now you want me to do it times $1.50?
Yes, yep. Please.
This is part. I mean, this is part of our operating fund too. This three. I mean, it's not. I don't know how many projects are lined up. But that's what I don't know.
Right.
Well, we can always probably go back
all the
money
spent
sometime, can't we?
Yeah.
But if there's a bunch of projects lined up, I don't want.
I know that money is going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's what
it
I hear.
Away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Elgin down by you, north of the highway, needs to be something done.
Yeah.
5 years from now, you're going to be. Doing something.
The 1 in 6 plan and things. There's several that
oh,
are
yeah, it's
that
it's
will
endless.
impact our
it's
citizens
endless.
As well. Like something visible in our community.
And like I said, I don't want to give the farm the con, by the way, but let's just make it work. I mean, the employees.
What
are,
did I do?
Employees are important. You know that.
Space, 31.
Okay, I'm getting dry, Larry. I need a couple. You got any hits out in your vehicle?
What?
You got anything in your vehicle? I'm getting dry.
He's got some modules for you.
You got some modules? Mm-hmm. I was thinking like maybe shot a crown.
What did I do?
Wouldn't you just take that times
9,000?
1.5. What did I do?
You would just take 1.41.
Yeah, you can do it that way too.
Or, yeah.
What did I do? Equals. Oh. Oh, I see what I did. I didn't take the
I didn't take the dollar of the hours work with me.
I think it's 212 by 21.
Okay.
Catch your one eye.
I can see better out of this one.
Can you? See, I got mine LASIK. One's far and one's close.
That's where you're supposed to be.
Is that what you got to do?
According to the eye doctor, he said one eye is the way you're built when you're a little guy. One eye sees long range more so than the other eye.
Really? Yeah, your distance eye.
And I didn't know that. I had no idea. And I got to get the cataracts
And I figured out why I can shoot a bow, because my left eye is my dominant eye. And I can kill anything with a bow, with a rifle. I can't kill nothing. Runs off in Dutch County. I hit it, but it don't die.
You need your progressive lenses.
I know. I need to. When I pull my bow back, that makes sense.
Is it coming up there, Joan? 212, 121. Yeah, that's exactly
what I got.
212, 121.
I figured a quarter.
5 cents. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I guess somehow I ended up with 5 cents on the end.
This here is what $1.50 does right there.
Yeah.
So, the $1.50 would be 185, and then the 14 FICA, the retirement's 12.8, would be 212. So,
right at a quarter of a million. So that's.
And that would be the people.
We're here.
That were here.
That are still here.
That are still here.
And if there's some discretion that people want to talk about, I think we need to talk to the managers before we do that part. But the top I feel comfortable with. Unless there's something else that people are thinking about.
So $1.50, so realistically, it's going to pay them, let's just say, for instance, roughly $4,000, roughly?
$3,100 for 2,080 hours.
But even the overtime people, I mean, the people that worked overtime, I mean, that is a lot of overtime.
That column right there, that first column.
Randy would get $28,97.25, but then he'd have to pay taxes and retirement out of that.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't, no matter what. I mean, whether you get paid.
Yeah.
You have to pay.
So it'll average. Yeah, okay, I'm with you. So what's
And then the county matches FICA and times and a half retirement. So that's what the county would pay. So if you're looking at what's going to come out of the ARPA funds, that's your 212-121-90 for current employees. These are not the terminated employees who worked all or part time of that March. That's another That would be another $62,000 for 274 versus 212. And I don't think we can really stick to that 62, because we're going to pull some people out of there that the department heads are going to say don't pay.
So it should go down south.
So we put out an email of what we're doing to the department heads or to the elected officials. There's only how many department heads we got?
Do you want
three, four, five, four?
Well, you guys are over all those department heads. I mean,
kind of.
Didn't you guys talk about capping it at a certain level at one time too, like $4,000?
Well, we did. We did. Looking at one county that did that.
Oh.
We didn't look at the cap. We was just doing the research from other counties.
They capped it at $4,000, but if you do the $1.50, nobody breaches $4,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Way to go.
I mean, it's. I think it's.
Right.
I think it's nice.
See.
It's better than a.
I don't see. Better
than $1.
Better than $1. Better than $300. One pay.
Yep.
I need to find out if that's true or not.
And like I said, the reality is, I mean, everybody was paid well while they worked here too. So it's that's just a nice premium.
Somebody can throw a commissioner as a party for that, can't we?
I'm going
to hit save. All right. We can sit down and discuss the operations to do that. Just saying.
Okay. What are we going with?
What are we going with? What do you guys want to do? You brought the 150. You brought up a dollar. Larry wanted two. I wanted two. I went back to $1.50 because I think $1.50 makes sense. But I like the $1.50, and then there's a discussion of department heads or elected officials from people that left during that period, 20 to 21 March. You like that idea?
Is that well, the part-time people are out of it then? Is that
They're in there. Not with hourly. The only one I don't have anything for is Joe O'Neill. Do you want to? Part-time people are in here.
He don't work really any hours.
I have no idea what he works.
No.
Yes, sir.
I know you guys said you weren't going to look at vacation sick hours and stuff. Are you considering paying people for the time they were off for COVID? We had employees gone for weeks because they ended up in the ER with COVID. I mean.
But they got to use their sick time, though, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know how you.
I'm not aware of anybody that didn't get paid.
And then there was the COVID pay.
I didn't see.
Well, you're just saying whether
that COVID pay
separate count versus
right.
Yeah.
Separate timesheet.
Because some people ended up working more hours because they were covering. But
Yeah.
I'd say hours worked to me. Yeah. So they were here on the spot. Face to face.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's. Yep. I mean, presence is a big thing. I mean, having worked in one of those people, I cover for eight people sometimes.
So, but like Joe, I don't know. Does he even work 200 hours a year? I don't know. Maybe he does.
The meetings. Yeah. I'd say just the part-time with benefits, because some of them, yeah.
As far as being exposed, he's had to go out.
He did.
Go out to.
So I can put some, I can put a dollar, I can put a, how many, 200?
250.
Well, I don't know, I'm just guessing, I don't know.
200 hours, 250 hours?
200 sounds pretty good.
Unless you count when he went to the meetings, but I mean, if out on his, you know, running
okay.
around.
He would get a check for $300 if he. So
I
that's not going to break anybody.
I like that.
Okay.
Deal with people
I
that
think
were,
that's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
So what did we come up with, can I ask?
You said it already.
The $1.50.
You got to make a motion.
$1.50, March 20 to 21, terminated only per department head.
Can you remember
approval.
This?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
I like
exceptions.
It. I like it. Can I make a motion on that?
Yes.
You did.
Okay, I did already, didn't I? I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion on that. Thank you.
Second.
Okay.
But now are the
progress.
Are the part-time people going to be covered and are concluded?
They're yep. in the list. Yep. They're in the list. They're the ones that are in gold on here. Yeah.
Not that I know anybody that's part-time, but I mean, if they got when they work, they worked.
Yeah. And they're the ones that are the shaded
roll call.
Ones.
Okay.
The first time. Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes, sir.
So it's $1.50 per hour then?
Yep.
$1.50.
No,
how much is the county spending?
We don't know exactly the dollar amount yet, but roughly it's going to be between $210 and $250 or $260. 280.
300.
Well, no, it's 270 something.
I'll get there.
Yeah. It'll be. If you want to put something in the paper, John, what do you think would be a safe dollar amount? Because I think that's what you're after.
An estimate.
Just put an estimate of $250,000.
Yeah.
$250,000 would be great.
About $250,000?
Yep.
Estimate.
Yeah. Roughly $250,000. Okay.
Okay. 5. Commissioner Committee reports. Does anybody have any?
Go ahead. No, I had something, but I can't remember what it was.
Well, you think about it while I'm...
Let me think about it.
I was at the RC&D, what do you call it? The
Northeast Nebraska Rural Conservation District. We are going to have a, what do you call it, an e-waste, I guess that's like electronics waste, here in Dakota City in the spring, where you can get rid of your computers and your cell phones and your stuff like that for recycling. And then we're going to have one of household hazardous waste, which is like oil, paints.
Pills?
Yeah, that's probably in that category. I'm not sure. I'll have to check. But usually it's oil, paints, pesticides in Jackson in the fall. So I'll keep you posted as those come up. But as you can, it's always good to store that stuff and get rid of it in a safe way.
Yes.
Good for the environment. That's it for me.
Okay. Do we have any other commissioner committee reports?
Oh, we had an economic development meeting this morning. Had some good ideas to talk about on economic development opportunities. So stuff coming up on that.
Okay. So we'll move to sixth then, mail and or emergency business, which has A, Joel O'Neill, Planning and Zoning Director, submitted letter of resignation.
Well, that's sad.
That's too bad.
Can I make a comment?
Huh?
Can I make a comment on this?
Yes.
Thank you. Tim Decker, County, 1335 Nottoway, and I'm on the Planning and Zoning Committee. I don't think Joe will quit if he gets a raise. And I think he only gets like $600 per meeting or something. We have like six meetings a year. 200 hours, I guarantee he works way more than 200 hours. And he's worked 200 hours in the last 3 months. Just look it up, we redid all the wind energy stuff. We did solar panel stuff. Now we're doing pipeline stuff. Is that what's taxed? No. So he's working a lot of hours.
So what do you know that we don't know? What?
I talked to Chairman Giese about it. I said, I think he needs more money.
And he told me the same thing. He said there's no termination date on here, and yeah. I want to get the ball rolling. I'm going to retire. I would like to.
I think he's getting $2 an hour, and when it all boils down to it, he's not for the work he's doing, he's not getting compensated. And as a person that's on that board, I asked him how he got that position. Well, he was kind of nominated, voted into it. He was on the planning and zoning. I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't do that job. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. He's going out every day and checking stuff out and doing these building permits and looking at, making sure. There's a lot going on in the county. A lot more than before I got on the board. I didn't think there's that much stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff.
So do we have to sit down with Joe then and kind of somebody needs to sit down with him, talk to him kind of about what his plans are, what he wants for monies?
I would, as a committee member, I would hope that you guys would. He does a very good job, and I would hate to see him go because, we're in the process of redoing the starting on the pipeline stuff, and he's getting all this stuff together, and he's like, we'll be able to get on it next month. I said, Joe, you put your resignation, how are we going to do it next month? Well, I don't think he wants to quit. I just think it's so much time. He's not getting compensated for it.
Is he retiring from his real job?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, that would make it, because I remember when I talked to him a couple years back, and he said, because I said at that time, well, maybe we need to pay him raise, but I didn't realize he worked full time.
Yeah. So
he could do a part-time, more of a part-time.
There's other people about the same thing.
Yeah.
But we should be looking into these hours you're talking about.
Yeah. I guarantee he's working a lot.
But we got to know.
But like last meeting, he got regs from 10 different counties on solar energy. Well, in a month, how long does it take to, how many phone calls are you, I'm not saying he's going out and driving around, but how many phone calls does it take to get all that stuff and put it all together? There's hours there.
And Jolene's kind of helping him too, isn't she?
Yeah. And I'm sure she is.
But minutes and
but yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of building permits. Anyway, that was my 2 cents of being on the board, on the planning and zoning board.
Talk to him about the hours worked that he.
Larry, could we have him start recording his hours worked? And just that have a little notebook and start writing down what he.
No, that's a good idea.
Because he turns in his mileage, I think. So maybe we just need to.
Because it's 3 months out, 3 or 4 months, before he. I think we, he retires. Yeah.
I told him we weren't accepting it, but I hope that you guys tell me.
Yeah, I know.
He's a good guy. He does a good job. I hate to see him go if it's just that. So.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure why he.
It's just a lot of time for him, and he's just like, this is it. We're not getting anything to do it.
But And he told me he was interested in staying with it and being hired full time or more hours.
I think that would be worth it.
But I don't think, from what I heard, that he didn't want to be old working 80 hours a week either, though.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But he needed more time to do the job right, is what he told me.
Yeah,
sure.
There's more to it than what he can handle.
Right. Now that he's going to quit his other, or he's retired from his other job.
Give him more time.
That'd be good. He'd be good at it. He's already knows it.
He does go a lot and that stuff.
Hey, there's some other mail. We got a notice from the city of South Sioux City that there is another TIF district going in, and it is the new Ho-Chunk Casino area.
How come I don't have that?
I just got it today's mail. I didn't make copies. So they are having, I'll make copies and send it out to everybody. March 9th at 4 o'clock is the...
So this is what needs to happen. This is what needs to happen. Somebody needs to represent the county board, go to their meeting, and I'm telling you, you need to negotiate that TIF money with the city. They don't deserve all that money. Okay, the county can, and I told Janet this, and I talked to Joan about this. When, God rest his soul, when Wayne Boyd was alive, I asked him, I says, can these TIFs be divided up between county and city? He said, they can be structured however you want to structure them. So I think somebody needs to get into, with Mike Schmidt and Lance and the mayor or whatever the case may be with Rod, and say, hey, you know, we're done with these TIFs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hell, it's killing us. And they just keep putting them on and putting them on and putting them on. And I don't know, what do they have active? 69 of them? I'm just kidding. Like 19 of them or 20 of them or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Maybe 8 or 9.
I don't know. There's a bunch. Doesn't matter. And then all of a sudden when something's done, then they want to redo it and put up another building and keep getting more monies out of it. It's wrong. It's wrong. And I understand the purpose of a TIF. Okay? I want to give you an example of a TIF. When they TIFed my area, Richardson Milling, and I see what I paid for their TIF, and they didn't get one dime for infrastructure. They did not want any money, okay? And I think I paid $2,500 a year for that TIF area, okay? And my business is blighted, okay? And I don't have city sewer in my and then 4 years ago, I just finally got natural gas. So, you know, I've asked them that before. Well, we'll have to look into it. Well, to me, a blighted or TIFed area is infrastructure for the area that is being TIFed. And I didn't get jacked.
Where'd the money go?
Huh?
Where'd the money go? Is from Richardson.
Exactly. It goes right into the city. Yeah, they didn't want a dime. They didn't want a dime. Neither did Great West. When Great West, when they TIFed that area, when they put that $20 million or $25 million addition on, yeah, their CEO up out there at the time, Jensen, they didn't want no money for the TIF. Yeah. Yeah, so where do you think the money goes to? You bet.
They do have to account for it.
Huh?
They do have to count.
Well, I understand they got to account for it, but I guarantee they got a lot of different resources where they can do with it.
Can we?
I don't know. It's disturbing.
Okay. City of South Sioux City Community Schools sent a post-prom party request for money, and Brian Pearson is the guy that's been reaching out to Bob from Simcoe with a local match on bringing a grant application and riding the bus service.
Right here.
They want money from us to match?
$141,710 would be the local support that would be needed.
To send a bus out to Homer and Jackson?
You know, we are looking to extend our services into your outer communities and evaluating potential Medicaid rides, adding a boost to serve the most vulnerable in need, quote unquote.
Quote unquote. The last thing you knew, there were 7,000 people working at the ethanol plant, last time I heard. But anyways, quote unquote.
I think it's 7.
Yeah, that's
700?
No, 7 people.
Right, no.
But it's like 30, I think.
Yeah, no. I went to a meeting, they thought there were 7,000.
Oh,
seven,
really?
Huh?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So can we, so that?
I'm getting low blood sugar. I'm getting angry.
Just
I got to get out of here.
And then who wants to attend the March 21st joint city council?
I've been to them before. I've been seen them before, and I have no desire to go to the school.
They are doing.
That's a board meeting night.
Yeah, they're doing addresses only. Yeah. Nobody else is speaking except possibly Ho-Chunk. With a partnership update.
So we're not going to listen to the superintendent?
Colleges, yes.
He'll be the MC probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have no desire to listen to Scott.
Bob will go.
He wants to go. I heard
him
say that.
Bob will go. Yeah,
you want to go. I heard him say that.
For that, can't hear any of us, though, or just do we have to limit who goes?
It's
open to the public. Can we all go?
I call roll and attendance.
Okay.
There's a quorum.
That's what I was wondering how that works. No, for the TIF thing, the Ho-Chunk TIF thing.
Okay.
On a night.
For this, do we have a meeting that night? What day is it again? What month?
Monday. We do have a meeting the day of the South Sioux City school thing. Right.
That's so we would adjourn and just or recess and just okay. go to that meeting and then recall roll.
What meeting are we talking about?
You're talking about the South Sioux meeting.
You're not attending.
I'm talking about the TIF one.
Oh, okay.
We talked about two different things here.
So the TIF one, I would like to go to get my 2 cents.
March 9th.
I would like to go to that one, too.
I wouldn't mind going to that.
Well, we won't sit together. We'll sit separately.
Why?
March 9th, it's on a Wednesday, right?
We can't talk to each other.
March 9th is a Wednesday.
At 4 p.m.
And this is what they're going to ask.
At 4 p.m.
Is this business, is this personal, or is this commissioner business?
Okay, so Troy
you're
say,
said
don't
yes, worry about
Janet.
It. Just listen to me.
Wait, are you up for the joint?
First?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. I'll put a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Scott is a no. Larry?
What?
The city, we'll go up to the public library and look where your taxpayers' money is going.
No, I've seen it. It looks pretty nice.
I think it's a South Sioux City school library, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a library.
It's our district, right? Yeah.
I want to go to the TIF, though.
Okay. Everybody's got
it. Can I see the map of the TIF real quick, or do you have it handy?
Pretty close to you.
It's right across the street from me. I'm in a blighted area. I'm ghetto, dude. Total ghetto. And this is the thing. This is what I've heard from city people, that this casino, and this goes all the way across, this goes on the north side of 20, all the way down to across the street from Richardson Milling, and straight back to the east. To C Avenue, and then it goes in between
the crystal. It is the crystal,
yep. They're going to blight that area. So, but what I've heard, and other people might know more than what I do about it, but I heard they're doing Omaha first, and then they're going to Lincoln, yeah. And then they're going to Norfolk, because they bought the Divots, and then they're coming here. Yeah. And that could be, I think that could be a long time.
Norfolk's not. They would have to get that approved by the state first. They're gonna build this one after they build Omaha and Lincoln.
So okay, Omaha, Lincoln, then here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's only at the six sites where there are horse race tracks. Six cities where there are horse race tracks.
Okay.
One would be Norfolk and Scottsbluff and North Platte. They have to go through the process to get.
You know, I wish everybody happiness and prosperity, but when they keep getting into your pocket with these TIFs, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm definitely going to get up there and give them my 2 cents on it. They'll love me by the time I'm down there.
Well, I think they're more open.
They're more open?
Yeah.
The city?
Yeah. I would ask.
Yeah.
One of them rolled off this year, didn't it, Joan? I guess I need to talk to Christy. I wonder what it's supposed to roll off this year.
I don't know.
She had that calculated.
One rolls off, one's two add on. I think they know that we're a little bitter about it, but that's okay. At the end of the day, we're all somewhat friends.
What's that? What's that little tiny loop that they caught?
What's that, John?
This property here? That little tiny...
This?
Oh, in the map? Oh, down there. It kind of jogs down. That little... Interesting.
I don't even know where you're at
is
right now.
Is that Cardinal Farms?
Yeah, that's
no, it's on the other side of C Avenue, right?
Okay, right here. Go
is
down,
it this
go down.
This little spot right here?
Yep.
The house.
Oh, that's down there on C.
C Avenue.
Yeah.
Fortnite,
it's Fortnite
Street.
Yeah, it's a farm.
The house that we always have to respond to, that they don't
dogs.
Have to go to.
They always got dogs all the time, don't they?
Yeah, what?
Dogs.
That's exactly what that is. It's the house that we always have to respond to, and they don't want to.
Hernandez Octavian?
Yeah.
They just figured they can. They'll just tear that down and build something.
It's not annexed. That's the one house that's not in there.
But it looks like it's included on there, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is included.
Because it's right here, right?
Yep. Yeah, because the line goes straight across, and then it goes...
It comes down, goes like that, goes like this, comes back up here, right.
Then it goes straight back this way.
That's weird, isn't it?
So what's this right here that they're including right here?
Well, that's the elevator and stuff. Or the
is that a concrete plant? Or?
That's the concrete plant.
Yeah, that's the concrete plant.
And that little building to the east, the concrete plant, is the... trucking companies building. Mm-hmm. They work on trailers.
So they're including K and B also?
Yeah, because this here is K, this is K and B's shop here.
Right here.
Right there. Well, this is also K and B's shop right here.
Oh.
Yeah.
They got a facility right here for like their drivers and et cetera.
Straight east of you is where the old tire place was.
Yep, yep. There's the USA Tire. USA and then you got Everts, and then you got Wicks.
Yep. Do those entities have to agree to be in that group, into that or not? Do they have to agree to be in the blighted zone?
No. They don't have no choice.
Oh.
It just happens.
Yep.
They just say, you're ghetto.
The land is actually in Ochar.
Huh?
How much
you
of that land is actually
in
Ochar?
Now, this is what I heard. That Ho-Chunk.
Adjournment?
Yeah, we adjourned?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Good.
Okay.
So,
we're adjourned.
I'll make a motion.
If you scroll down, Ho-Chunk bought across Highway 20, both sections, but I think they're selling... They're going to sell the one towards on the corner of G Street or C Avenue and 39th.
By where the new substation is?
Because, well,